This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature and is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Securities are not offered or sold on the show. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need money.
This is the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is not just another money show, rather a guidance system to help you help yourself. Legacy Financial is a family-owned business and has earned the highest reputation by helping people just like you for over 40 years. Business professionals, school teachers, doctors and nurses, moms and retirees have all benefited from Legacy Financial's time-proven strategies. And now, the Dave and Sherry Show. It's David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome. You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network, and this is the Dave and Sherry Show, and I'm Sherry Marini.
And my name is David Gallner.
Thanks for joining us today. The name of our company is Legacy Financial Strategies and Legacy Advisory Group, Incorporated. We're located at 3087 Innovation Way in a development called Linden Point off of Route 18 in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. Our toll-free number is 1-800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. Or you can go to our website, leavealegacy.com. Leave, L-E-A-V-E, the letter A, legacy.com. Or if you're driving and you think, I can't remember any of that, then when you get back to your computer, just Google Legacy Financial, Legacy Financial, and it'll pop up our information. And again, you can click, take you to our website where you'll find all our contact information, including our email addresses. So where are we located? Roughly 50% or maybe even slightly more of our clients, folks who come and see us, are from the Ohio area. So if you're listening from Ohio, you can reach us off of Interstate 80, exit 4B. You're going to go about 2.1 miles off the exit ramp. You will pass Sheets on Route 18 on your right. Directly across the street is Combine's Restaurant on the left. There's a light there. The very next light, which would be about a third to a half a mile, is the entrance to Linden Point. It's gotten busy enough up here that there's a light here now. So you'll make that right into Linden Point. You will see a stone pediment that says Linden Point, although it's not real super obvious that it says Linden Point on it, but you will know by being at that light. And then we're the fourth building on the left. We're directly catty-corner to Butler County Community College. If you're from in and around the Shenango Valley area, you're going to either go 18 north or south, depending on what direction you're coming. If you're coming 18 south, you'll make a left into the development. If you're coming 18 north, you'll make that right. If you're from in and around the Newcastle, Lawrence County area, and we have an awful lot of folks from that area, you're either going to come off of 376, and then the directions will be the same. You're going to see Combines. You'll make that right, coming 18 going north. And we're very easy to find. We're in the preeminent location of all of Hermitage. And it's a very nice area. This is kind of not a very nice weather day. It's very rainy. But on a nice day, you can, if you're so able to, walk about a mile and a half around the walking trails here. So it's a very nice development that Hermitage just put in.
Let me just stop you there. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice, and this will be glad in
good point.
It.
Yes, we're alive. So and it's not snowing, so you don't shovel rain, do you? So that's a good thing. So what do we do here at Legacy Financial Strategies and Legacy Advisory Group? Well, we work with folks predominantly, not everyone, but most people are 50 and older. They're people who are thinking about being one day retired, thinking about getting their affairs in order for retirement. Maybe they are already retired, or they might have been retired for many, many years. And we focus in on four areas that are pertinent to the 50 and greater crowd. And we always talk about this one first because most people have done nothing to plan for this one, even if they've done everything else right in their financial life. We see very few people that have planned for what they will do when their health changes. Now, notice I said when, not if, because at some point, everyone's health is going to change as they get older. And according to the Department of Human Health and Human Services, if you're 65 and older, there is a 70% chance that you'll need some type of very expensive care in the future. It might be at home, assisted living, or a nursing facility. If you're 65 and older, that same agency says there's a 1 in 2 chance that you'll spend some time in a nursing home, which is literally the most expensive place to get your care and also the last place that most people want to receive their care. So we're not talking about expensive long-term care insurance when we talk about this because most people, frankly, aren't going to qualify for it. If they do, It's going to be so exorbitantly expensive that many people, even if they can initially afford it, sometime down the line with all the price increases, will end up letting it lapse because it's too expensive. And what if you happen to be in the 30% of people who never need it? We like a better approach to what to do when your health changes, because we find that 80% of people, when you ask that question, will say they want to get their care at home. And we also ask them, what assets will you use first to pay for this care? Because there's sort of a misnomer out there that care at home is inexpensive. It's not. It's about $24 an hour for a home health aid in this area. So if you needed just 8 hours a day of care, that's going to be very expensive very quickly. And you better know where your resources are to get that care. So we like to put together a plan, an elder plan, if you will, of what you will do when your health changes. Kind of a blueprint, if you will, for health care events that can happen in the future when your health changes. And we believe in an asset-based approach where you're already going to use your assets. Why not be better able to leverage those? And maybe that CD that's sitting in the bank not doing anything for you if your health changes, maybe that $100,000 or $200,000 CD rainy day fund could provide $400,000, $500,000, or maybe unlimited benefits if you and your spouse needed care in the future. We'll give you a peace of mind that you've not had, because this is the one thing. When you're talking about $100,000 plus in our area, not in California, in our area, that could wipe out your retirement nest egg. It's a very big risk most people are taking, and they're gambling their entire retirement savings on something they have no control over, because we don't control our health. It's all here until it's not, isn't it? That's the way it works. You have your health until you don't. And when you don't, sometimes there's limited choices. Now, if you're already in a situation where your spouse or a parent is on their way into the nursing home, can't be cared for at home, and you think, I'm about to lose my life savings or their life savings, it's not too late. There are still legal strategies. That's why we work as a team. We have an attorney that we work with here in Pennsylvania and also one in Ohio, where we sit down together and we look at collaboratively strategies that we can legally put in place to avoid the spend down of all these resources that you spent a lifetime accumulating. Now, it's a lot to digest, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail, but in a lot of cases, we can protect all or maybe some of those resources so that instead of it getting wiped out through expensive health care in a nursing home or home health care, there's strategies we can put in place to save, in some cases, all of it, in some cases, part of it.
In fact, on the next segment, I will talk about an email that I received from an attorney about an oath regarding that on protecting assets and what they're sworn to do. You stay tuned for that on the next segment.
And then you name the savings or investment here at Legacy Financial Strategies. We have it. We talk a lot about yellow, green, and red money. We talk about the retirement roadmap. We're fiduciaries here in this office, meaning we're required, and I know that term gets bantied about a lot, but we are required by law to put your best interest in first. So we have financial products that we offer. We have the safe money products. We have a registered investment advisory firm that we are able to offer managed money through. So we offer the whole approach, but we believe in a balanced approach where we sit and do the planning with you first. So I'll go into that more here in future segments, but let's talk about probate. Some people say, yeah, I'm never going to a nursing home, or I'm never going to need care. Well, we hope you're in the 30% that you can make that guarantee, because most of us don't know. But one thing we do know is that you will die, I will die, my dad will die, everybody's going to die. So therefore, you'll go through probate, unless you've done some planning to avoid probate. Even if you don't have a will, you'll go through probate. So with or without a will, you'll go through probate. Again, we work with estate planning attorneys in Pennsylvania and Ohio. If you wish to avoid probate, what is probate, by the way?
If you'd like to learn more about it, we have a pamphlet that really is nice. It's kind of a cliff notes. It goes through the kind of the terminology, and you'll see for yourself, goes through kind of general questions that you would ask, and they have the answers there. They go show what happens if you die without a will,
with a will,
or with a trust, living trust.
So there are ways to avoid probate. They require you to be proactive, though. Nobody's going to knock on your door. An attorney's going to help your family whether you had a will or not. It's just, what's it going to cost? And a will is nothing more than your written wishes. Probate means to prove what was yours was actually yours during your lifetime. It's like a big title search. And then the courts have to oversee the orderly transference and retitling of those assets. Naturally, there's court costs involved. There's transfer fees. There's appraisal costs. There's attorney's fees. There may be executor fees, and the fees are on and on. According to AARP, Several years ago, they did a study that showed it could cost upwards of 10% of your gross estate to go through probate. It's also a very public process, so any courthouse, Lawrence, Mahoney, Trumbull, Mercer County, I can go into any of these courthouses, and if I know of a deceased person, I can ask to see their probate file. They don't say, well, what business is it of yours? Are you the attorney representing? They don't say any of that. They'll just give it to you, and it provides for a lot of interesting information. First of all, it has a listing of all the assets, Social Security numbers, family troubles. It's all in there. Some of them read like a novel, quite frankly. So it's a public process, and it's time-consuming. It could take 6 months, a year, 2 years longer. Many people wish to spare their family the pain and aggravation. And by the way, one of the worst things about we've watched folks go through probate is that it causes the bereavement process to extend longer. So it's almost impossible to move on from a death when you're constantly being reminded of estate issues that drag on for a year or 2 years or 3 years or longer. We've seen that firsthand.
In taxes, right now, we did 629 tax returns last year. Taxes just started. We're only at day six because this is February 6. We already got close to 70 returns already in. So we're doing the tax preparation for $150. Includes the federal long form and short form, the state form, local returns $10 extra. We're going to show you how to get it with no charge or half the price in a minute. We include Schedule E. For those that don't know what Schedule E is, that's a rental or oil and gas. That's included in that price. Schedule D, if you do stock trade, that's included. Most firms charge more than that, up to 10 trades. If you do more than 10, then we charge a dollar per trade. And Schedule A is included. Schedule B, interest and dividends. So if you have an itemized, that's included for that price. But if you refer just one person to come and see us, the price is half. If you refer two people, you get two-thirds off. And if you refer three people, it costs you nothing. Plus, we do tax planning. So if you'd like to set up a complimentary consultation, give Legacy Financial Strategies and Innovation Tax Service a call. And by the way, you can go to our website, innovationtaxservice.com, and you'll see all the details about the tax preparation. You can sign up for our quarterly newsletter. But give us a call toll-free at 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963. If you're driving, when you get back to your computer, just Google the word Legacy Financial, and you see an area on Google, just click on leaveatlegacy.com. leaveatlegacy.com has our contact information. And you want to stay to the end, because I'm going to talk about Mitt Romney and about the God he serves. You should listen to my radio show, One Way Radio Network, and about cults. See, I used to be involved in a cult. I'll talk about that toward the end. But we'll talk about Mormons. I roomed with a person, Mormon, who was going for a master's degree in counseling. I was going for religion at Liberty University. I'll tell you a little bit of story about that and what they believe in. That's a fallacious, a false religion. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me being Jesus. They don't believe Jesus is the God. So we'll talk more about that on the last segment. So you're listening to Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. Please listen to this important message.
Attention, baby boomers. Wall Street is lying to you. What if you could preserve your nest egg by reducing your taxes? What if you could protect your nest egg from stock market risk? What if you could defend your nest egg from the ravages of healthcare costs? Thousands of clients can't be wrong over the last 60 years combined. To get a copy of The Complete Guide to Living a Tax-Free Retirement, go to www.legacyfinancialpresents.com. Remember, if you want to preserve, protect, and defend your nest egg from the stock market, the IRS, and healthcare expenses, go to legacyfinancialpresents.com now.
You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And now back to the Dave and Sherry Show. David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is the Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. Before we get into the eight answers to questions about the SECURE Act, and probably next segment, I don't think we'll have time in this segment to talk about 10 ways the Wall Street cartel is killing your retirement account. Let me read something from an elder law attorney, which I think you'll find rather interesting. I won't mention his name. Here's what he had to say. And this had to do with the first segment when my daughter was talking about how to protect your assets from catastrophic illness and Medicaid spend down. Of course, the best way is pre-crisis planning. There's a lot of things you can do, and I don't mean buying long-term care insurance, that you could do. It's unbelievable. But there's people who are in a crisis planning, don't know which way to turn, and their savings are being drained. So there's strategies, even while you're in the nursing home or about to go in nursing home, that you can protect. You might even protect all of it, but at least you can protect a good portion of it. Here's what he had to say. Seems like every week, he says, I hear a new lawyer joke. Usually something like this. And remember, he's a lawyer. He said, what's the difference between a dead dog in the road and a dead lawyer in the road? Remember, this comes from a lawyer. He said, there are skid marks in front of the dog. Well, I have a disdain for some lawyers, just like all professions do. But I do believe in discrimination. I believe if you're an attorney or a PhD, a postal digger, you shouldn't be allowed for Congress. That's my take on it. But we use attorneys all the time, and you want to use attorneys who specialize. It's like if you go to see a doctor and just say he's a good friend of yours, a general practitioner, and you had some heart problems. He doesn't say, or she doesn't say to you, well, you know, you've known me for 30 years. I can take care of that. Usually what they'll do is they refer to you as a specialist. So attorneys do get a lot of times bad rap, but there's a lot of very good, excellent attorneys, just like in our industry, just like in any field. Now, I can take a joke as well as the next person. He said, so I'm not here to complain. I think there's a reason animosity toward lawyers strikes a chord. We're seen as mercenary. That comes from a lawyer. He says, people view lawyers as hired guns who will fight for the most unpopular causes. He said, trying to get an accused murderer acquitted, defending a cheating spouse in a divorce case, helping companies escape pollution regulations. He said, the result, many people, let's put it that way, he just says, people hate lawyers. Until what? They need one. For instance, if you're the one accused of a crime, you want the best defense available, right? Because maybe you're innocent, and you need an advocate who will fight to prove it. Excuse me. The theory about lawyer jokes is they express the public's mixed emotions. People sometimes take offense or a mercenary role, but they make light of with jokes because they know they need our help. Or many of you will need help one day. He said, in my line of work, I fight for the financial interests of my nursing home clients. He's a specialist in that area. He said, not everyone loves what I do. Nursing homeowners, Medicaid officials, long-term care insurance companies, and others have a disdain the thought of lawyers helping people qualify for Medicaid before they should. And let me stop you. Medicaid is paid by what? Federal income tax dollars. I don't think most of you who have a 401k or an IRA feel like you're cheating the government when you deduct that. The reason you don't is because it's the law. So it's perfectly legal. Plus, if you have children, you have tax credits, which are pretty good. Since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you don't think you're cheating the government. Why? Because it's legal. So the same with Medicaid. You have a right to arrange your affairs. So if you can minimize or eliminate that, you have a right to do that. I added that commentary in. Now, I make 2 points in response, he says. Lawyers are required by mandatory rules of professional conduct to zealously assert the client's position under the rules and seek a result advantageous to the client, but consistent with requirements of honest dealings with others. He said a lawyer can't fight hard for clients. Best interest needs what? To get another job. Medicaid planning aims to get the best result for the client, allowed by what? Law. Some may take offense at the results we get, but we're playing by the rules, just like your 401k or IRA. You could argue with the merits of that. So I make no excuses for playing the mercenary. Personally, I believe families facing the daunting financial burdens of paying for long-term care need all the help they can get. He says, I work that goal every day, and I'm not leaving any skid marks. I'm not going to give you his name because he's from Pittsburgh. So we have elder law attorneys who feel the same way in western Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio, that if you are in a situation or you want to know more about protecting those assets, that's the one thing that if you haven't planned for could literally wipe you out. So if you'd like more information on that, give us a call toll free at 800-264-4963. I'm a veteran. I need help. I'm considering going into a nursing home. My assets are being drained. What can I do? So if that's you or you know someone like that or you want to do some pre-planning in advance that doesn't happen to you on a pre-crisis basis, give us a call toll-free at Legacy Financial Strategies at 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963, or just Google the word Legacy Financial. Click on the button that says leavealegacy.com. It'll take you to our website, and you can spend hours there. And by the way, one of the things we have on that website is on-demand seminars. So if you're considering taking Social Security, or you're about to take it, or you're near going to take it in maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years, not really sure if you should, you might want to click on that button when you go to Leave a Legacy on-demand seminars. There's a mini seminar, very short one, with lots of free reports you can download, quizzes, one's on how to have a tax-free retirement, one's on estate planning, wills, powers of attorney, one is on how to have a paycheck for life, guaranteed income you cannot outlive, one on women in wealth. So that's leavealegacy.com, click on the button that says on-demand seminars. So let's talk about, we've talked about this in the past, but I think a lot of people probably didn't really comprehend this SECURE Act, which was passed when December, I believe, 19th or the 20th of 2019. They tacked it on to the bill, the spending bill. So it stands for, the SECURE Act stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. So here's question number one. Some of the SECURE Act provisions apply to IRA contributions made after December 31st, 2019. One example is the ability to make contributions to your traditional IRA regardless of your age. Now, you have to have income, but you couldn't do that before. You could do a Roth, providing you had income. And this one, you can add money to a traditional past 7.5 as long as you have income. So if I make a contribution in 2020 for tax year 2019 by contributing before April 15, 2020, do those contributions fall under the SECURE Act provisions? The answer is no. They don't, unfortunately. If you make an IRA contribution between January 1st and April 15, 2020, and apply it to 2019, then the tax law treats it if you made that contribution on December 31st, 2019. The new age limit IRA contributions apply to tax years after 2019. Note, tax years, not calendar years. Question number two. It seems like non-spouse traditional IRA beneficiaries will pay a lot of tax under the new rule requiring them to empty the IRA account within 10 years. Am I missing something? So they had a respite, which was 5 years. The answer is no, you're not missing anything. We agree with you. This change isn't taxpayer friendly. They know where this tax money is, and that's why it passed in the House 417-3. There's 435 House representatives. So it passed overwhelmingly, and it passed in the Senate at the end of December 2019. But we have good news. Congress put in place a lot of exceptions to this rule. In addition to surviving spouse, there are four other types of IRA beneficiaries who can continue using the existing so-called stretch IRA rules. One, a child who has not reached the age of majority. A disabled individual as defined in tax code 72M7. A chronically ill individual as defined in tax section 7702BE2 with modification. Or number four, an individual who is not more than 10 years younger than the original owner. So if you're out of luck and the 10-year rule doesn't apply to you, try one of these three strategies to minimize Uncle Sam's cut of your IRA. If you have a net business loss in a tax year, offset the loss with what? An IRA distribution and pay what? No tax on the distribution. If you're in the 10 or 12% tax bracket, take IRA distributions to use up these tax brackets and get the cash out at a lower cost. And three, don't wait until year 10 of your stretch period to take out all the cash out. It's likely that 1 year lump sum payment will push your distribution into a much tax bracket. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act temporarily lowered individuals' tax rates through the end of 2025, December 31st. So the blue-white special is on. It may be time for some of you to convert some of that money to Roth, and we can show you strategies where you're not coming out with very much money out of your pocket. You're arguing directly, but you'll see from the illustration how it's done. And it could be for the right person, and I've seen it for a lot of people that it can, might be something you want to worthwhile look checking into. So if that's the case for you, give us a call toll free at 800-264-4963. Set up a complimentary consultation or set up a phone call to learn more about it. Our phone number is 800-264-4963, or Google the word Legacy Financial. Click on the button that says leavealegacy.com, has all our contact information. We come back, we're going to talk about the rest of those secure rules and 10 ways that Wall Street cartel is killing you. And you want to stay to the last segment, I'm going to talk about Mitt Romney and about his God that he worships.
You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And now back to the Dave and Sherry Show. David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome back. This is the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is the Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. We're going to continue talking about the 8 answers to questions about the SECURE Act, which stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement SECURE Act. If you'd like to get a copy of these 8 questions, call our office toll-free at 800-264-4963. Just ask for it. We're glad to email it to you. If you don't have a computer, we can mail it out to you. So question number three, if an inherited IRA, am I initially subject to the 10-year rule? Can I later stretch it out if I become disabled or go into the nursing home? Here's the answer. You're determined whether you qualify of the 10-year exception on the date of the IRA owner's death. If you become disabled, for example, after inheriting the IRA, guess what? You're stuck with the 10-year rule. Question number four. I'm having twins in March 2020. Does this mean my spouse and I can each take out $10,000 out of our traditional IRA penalty-free? If we want to repay it, what is the deadline to put the money back into the IRAs? The answer, based on reading the law, you can take $5,000, not $10,000, $5,000 per child per parent. So therefore, if you have twins, both $5,000 each, you and your spouse can take $10,000 each for a total of $20,000. Remember, this tax break in name was to avoid. This avoids what? The 10% penalty only, not the tax. You still pay income tax on any funds you take from the traditional IRA. We'll need further guidance from the IRS on how the repayment provision works. The law says you can repay the money, but it doesn't give you any directions. So we'll have to wait to get that information when it comes out. Excuse me. Question five. I'm going to inherit an IRA in 2020, and I have to take money out over 10 years. Can I double dip and have the 10-year distributions cover my requirement minimum distributions, RMD, from my other retirement accounts? What say you? The answer is, it'd be nice if you could, but the answer is no. You have to calculate and take your RMD amounts on your existing IRA, and then do what? Make a plan for when you take your inherited IRA distributions. Nice try. Question six. If a minor child inherits an IRA, does the IRA become a stretch IRA permanently? This seems a potential tax planning strategy when determining who should be a beneficiary. This is one exception to the 10-year exception category we talked about earlier. An exception to an exception, only something, of course, Congress would do. If the IRA beneficiary is a child of the IRA owner and the child hasn't reached the age of maturity on the date of death of the IRA owner, then the minor child uses what? The stretch IRA rules, but only until the date he or she reaches the age of maturity. The 10-year rule applies as of the age of majority. So, example, your son is age 13, and the beneficiary of your IRA, say you die. Your child has until age 28 to take the money from the IRA. 5 years to reach majority, and then 10 years after reaching the age of majority. Question seven, is the 10,000 Section 529 allowable distribution for payments of principal and interest on student loans on every year requirement or lifetime amount? Also, how does a $10,000 sibling exception work? Well, the answer to tax-free treatment of Section 529 distributions to pay principal or interest on qualified education loan is limited to more than $10,000 of such distributions. Amounts in excess of the $10,000 are what? Subject to the usual tax treatment of 529 distributions. That is to say, the earnings are included in income and subject to a 10% penalty. The new Section 529 provision contains a special rule allowing such amounts to be distributed to a sibling of a designated beneficiary. What's that? Brother, sister, stepbrother, stepsister. This rule allows 529 account holders to make a student loan distribution to a sibling of a designated beneficiary without changing the designated beneficiary of the account. Question 8. Tax Code Section 401B2 states, if an employer adopts a stock bonus, pension, profit sharing, or annuity plan after the close of a taxable year, but before the time prescribed by law for filing return of the employer for the taxable year, including extensions, the employer may elect to treat the plan as having been adopted as of the last day of the taxable year. Question is, does that rule apply for elective deferrals? The answer is no, unfortunately. The rules apply only to employer self-employed contributions. The elective deferrals are based on employee contributions made during the plan year. So, those are the 8 questions of the SECURE Act. If you'd like to set up a complimentary consultation and learn more about it, please give us a call toll-free at 800-264-4963. So let's talk about 10 ways the Wall Street cartel is killing your retirement. And what is the Wall Street cartel anyways? Well, some of you might not like this if you're a broker. Investment houses, brokers, and yes, advisors. The tax man is part of the Wall Street cartel. Even your employer may be unwitting part of the Wall Street cartel. None of the players are bad in of themselves, but the rule sets they construct dictate how we participate, what we must pay, what risk we must assume. Those rules favor the cartel and put average investors at a huge wealth building disadvantage. So let's go through these ways. Diversification is for them, not you. Diversification is the practice of managing the risks of investing losses by spreading money across several positions, rather having it concentrated in one or even a few where a single event could devastate a portfolio. Here's the two most important forms of diversification are to actively move in and out of securities. We call that tactical, or invest in mutual funds. Some people hold, buy and hold. That's kind of strategic, which spread risks over many investment positions if you have a mutual fund. Either way, the effectiveness of diversification strategies is impossible to measure, but guess what? The costs are not. Active managing triggers fees and commission expenses. Mutual funds have high transaction costs and pile on huge expense ratio. The truth is, diversification is only necessary when money's exposed to market risk. If there's no risk, there's no need for diversification, and we can avoid the gross sapping cost of a diversification. Can we truly eliminate risk and still grow money at acceptable rates? That's the question. The answer is yes. Risk, folks, is optional. Risk is assumed voluntarily. We often don't see it because we're lured into the Wall Street lair by the narrow range of choices they offer. They make it appear as if there are no risk-free ways to invest money. Now, with that SECURE Act, one of the things they're going to have is a paycheck for life, an index, a type of an index annuity that many of these 401ks will have that. Right now, you don't have that choice. Consider, if you can't see this chart that I'm looking at, every Wall Street offers lies in a narrow band that stretches what? From high risk to high reward to low risk to low reward. They offer nothing that lies. We want our money to be in low risk, yet what? Have a high reward, a hybrid. You will be having that soon. If they did, diversification would be completely unnecessary. The truth is, they need diversification more than we do. Diversification creates transaction velocity, and transaction velocity drives the very fees and commissions they thrive on. So next week, we'll go through the other 9 ways. There's 10 ways altogether. And if you'd like to get a copy of this report, I'd be glad to email it to you or mail it to you. Just give us a call, Legacy Financial Strategies, toll-free at 800-264-4963, 800-264-4963, or Google the word Legacy Financial. Legacy Financial, click on the button that says leavealegacy.com, has our contact information. You're listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. When you come back, I want you to, when we come back, we're going to talk about the God that Mitt Romney worships and about Mormonism. I talk a lot about that on my one-way radio show. Please, this is an important message.
At Legacy Financial Strategies, we know you want to retire with the comfort and security of knowing exactly how much you can spend in retirement, and that each and every dollar of retirement income will be there when you need it. We know you want to sleep at night and have your retirement lifestyle unaffected by today's economic news. We know you don't want to outlive your retirement assets or become a burden to your family and loved ones. We know you want a step-by-step process designed to help you feel confident in your decisions. We specialize in lifetime income planning. We have been helping our clients for over 40 years, offering the confidence that a prudent strategy can help provide. Let us help you. Visit our website at leavealegacy.com to learn more. That's leavealegacy.com. Or call us at Legacy Financial Strategies at 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. You'll be glad you called. I guarantee it.
listening to the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And now back to the Dave and Sherry Show. David Gallner and Sherry Marini.
Welcome back. This is the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. This is the Dave and Sherry Show. My name is David Gallner. We got a lot to cover on this segment because we're going to talk a lot about politics. And just to tell you the highlights, we're going to talk about what Franklin Graham said about Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi tearing up the speech. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney and about his belief in Mormonism. You may not know what's involved in that. It's a false god. And then we're going to talk something that you probably haven't heard about. Joey Biden's brother, Jim Biden. This is in our backyard at Elwood City Medical Center. So we're going to try to get all that done on this segment. So Franklin Graham slams Pelosi for tearing up the speech. He said, what's wrong with these people? He says, though Graham and other faith leaders applauded Trump's remarks, he said in a Facebook post Wednesday that Pelosi and her Democratic colleagues' disdain felt like a very personal resentment and hatred for the success of America. You know, he talked about him not shaking her hand. He didn't shake Vice President Pence's hand either. And to tear that speech up, she said, because it was full of lies. Well, you're going to see who the liar is. We say the person's mendacious, fallacious. You know who the father of lies is? Satan. Now, she's not Satan, but the demons, when the truth is not into you, they don't even know that they're the ones that are a liar, but they will tell other people the liar. And by the way, if you really want to know what kind of a liar is, and I'll prove it to you, Google Nancy Pelosi, or YouTube, and put in beside her name, Smear. S-M-E-A-R. What is a smear? She's talking to C-SPAN. This is a video, not a hearsay, not words. Her saying is, the reporters are asking, what is a smear? She says, a smear is something you make up about an opponent, which is not true. Then you leak it to the press, and you're hoping that the press will print it. And she says, that'll give us some legitimacy. And that's a tactic, that's a strategy that we do. I'm paraphrasing that. Google that, go to YouTube, Nancy Pelosi, and what a smear is. So though Graham and other faith leaders applauded Trump's remark, he said in a Facebook post Wednesday that Pelosi and her Democratic colleagues' disdain felt like a personal resentment and hatred for the success of America. I repeated that so you get the point. How could leaders in Congress be so indignant about good news for the people of this country? The son of late Billy Graham writes in reference to many Democrats' refusal to applaud or stand for Trump in his honored guests. Why would they not celebrate people seeing increases in their wages, our military being strengthened, a young girl's receiving scholarship, victories in the fight against ISIS, a military hero reunited with his family, a 100-year-old three-war veteran be it honored, and other great news, Graham says. The president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, concludes they have contempt. They have contempt for the heart of America. And they do. I couldn't agree with him more. So let's talk about Mitt Romney, and let me give you some backdrop. I have 36 out of 45 hours at a master's degree at Liberty University in religion. That won't get you to heaven. I've read the Old New Testament 33 times. I have a radio show I do on Sunday morning from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. on WPIC, same call station, 790 a.m. There's only one way to heaven, not 50 ways to heaven. When I was going to Liberty many, many years ago, they roomed with me a person who worked for the Mormon Temple. His undergraduate degree was in Brigham Young in history, his master's in library and science. He was going to get his master's in counseling because two of his sons had been raped. He worked for the Mormon Temple, proxying dead bodies. We were talking 7 hours. They happened to pair me, not in the dorm. The dorm was full in a hotel. He says, I haven't even unpacked my luggage yet. We've been talking 7 hours. I said, well, the bottom line is, Jerry, if I'm wrong, you'll proxy me because they did proxy dead bodies. I won't be at the same level that you will be But if you're wrong, which I know you are because you don't believe in the deity, what does the deity mean? Fully God. Jesus is fully God, fully man. You're going to spend eternity in hell. Now, they didn't have cell phones back in those days, but I could overhear him talking to his wife. He was obviously disturbed. 2 days later, he was in different classes than me, and he says, I know what you're trying to do. He says, no professor talked to me like you. Well, in all fairness, when you're going to classes, they don't have a lot of time. He says, you're concerned about my salvation. Well, he could have figured that out probably the first 5 minutes. I would have liked to say he repent, but he did not. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe unless another prophet comes, like Joseph Smith or Brigham Young, you can't interpret the Bible. Because I use that over and over and over again. They had different books they added. They believe Jesus is a son of God, not the God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Me being Jesus. So the secret to getting to heaven is repent, ask for forgiveness, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God loves everyone. He wants all to come and repent. But unfortunately, because of pride and ignorance, many people will spend eternity in hell, not in heaven. They appear worldly as nice folks, but they're blasphemy who Jesus is. So the founder of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith Jr., 1805 to 1844, organized what is now the Church of Jesus of Latter-day Saints, LDS, in 1830 near Rochester, New York, headquarters in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl, Great Price, plus the Bible, King James Version only, are Smith's inspired version, which is seen as less reliable. Authoritative teachings of Mormon prophets and other LDS general authorities. God, what do they believe about God? God the Father was once a man but progressed to Godhood. He has a physical body as he does his wife, Heavenly Mother. No, they don't believe in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three separate gods. Worthy members may one day become exalted to Godhead themselves. What do they say about Jesus? Jesus is a separate God from the Father, Elohim. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven as the elder brother of all men in spirit, including Lucifer. His body was created through sexual union between Elohim and Mary. Blasphemy, this is. Jesus was married, he said. His death on the cross does not provide full atonement, the shedding of sins, for all sin, but does provide everyone with resurrection. What they believe about the Holy Spirit is different from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not God. That's what the Mormons believe, but is an influence or electricity like emanation from God or light of Christ. They believe about salvation, resurrected by grace, but saved, exalted to Godhood by works, including faithfulness to church leaders, Mormon baptism, tithing, ordination, marriage, and secret temple rituals. No eternal life without what? Mormon membership. Well, they believe about death. Eventually, nearly everyone goes to one of three separate heavenly kingdoms, with some achieving godhood. Apostates and murderers go to outer darkness. What they believe about the Bible, secret temple endowment, rituals, and celestial marriage available only to members in good standing. Baptism on behalf of the dead. I mentioned that's what that gentleman did. He worked for the Mormon temple, baptizing dead bodies. Work of wisdom, prohibits tobacco, alcohol, and caffeine drinks. 2-year missionary commitment, encouraged. Tithing essential, door-to-door proselytizing, extensive social network, people of African ancestry denied full access to Mormon priesthood and privileges until 1978. So Mitt Romney, when he's talking about his God, it's a false God. See, I was involved in cults. Prior to my salvation, November 10th, 1986, I was listening to a radio program. I believed in reincarnation. I believed you keep coming back as a person to who got it right. Me. So two main reasons people won't spend eternity in heaven rather than hell is ignorance and pride. So let's use me, for example. I was basically my own God. So who would determine I'd get to heaven? Me. And then ignorance. So I said I was a Christian. If you walk like a duck, swim like a duck, run like a duck, eat like a duck, quack like a duck. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you were a duck. I was a duck, folks. I was not a believer. Now, once you've repented and asked for forgiveness and accept Jesus Christ as the God, guess what? You still have that old nature, which all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, Romans 3:10. No, not one. You still have old nature, but now you've been born again. John 3:3 says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. So you have that new nature. A man's appointed once to die, Hebrews 9:27. So who do you say this Jesus is? Are you one like what Mitt Romney says? There's two judgments, the great white throne judgment, which for non-believers, and the Bema judgment, or judgment seat of Christ, for believers. You want to be at the Bema judgment, not the great one, great white throne judgment. He loves all. He wants all to come to repentance. But you have to make that decision. So who do you decide? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he the God? Deity? Or is he a lunatic? Or a liar? For me and my family, we are going to serve the God. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. And we'll talk more about Joey Biden's brother, Jim Biden, next week as we're running out of time.